Round two, take two.
He doesn't do anything?
No, it's a, sorry, Cap.
Any thug can kill. I want you to take your ego out of the equation.
And I don't want any third-rate rent-a-thug who couldn't cut it as a cop in Chicago bringing him to L.A. on some bullshit local charge.
Hippies and yippies alike fill the streets, waging a war of peace against Mayor Daley's thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Oh, hell yeah, they got robbers, thugs, drug dealers, right, you name it.
Thug life.
Did you fucking apologize? What's the matter with you?
Listen, thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Now, we got a nice, quiet little beach community here, and I aim to keep it nice and quiet. So let me make something plain. I don't like you sucking around bothering our citizens, Lebowski. I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off. Do I make myself clear?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Ow! Fucking fascist!
Stay out of Malibu, Lebowski! Ow! Stay out of Malibu, deadbeat!
Keep your ugly fucking gold brickin' ass out of my beach community.
Come on, I'm not gonna... I'll do the right thing if you do the right thing, huh? I know what it's like to get stoned a little bit, you know, to get high a little bit.
For $20, I'll call the guy a chicken fucker.
Easy ride, easy ride, easy ride, easy ride.
License and registration? Chicken fucker!
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you? Punk.
What the hell's that all about? You gonna spin it now?
No, I was just telling him that so he makes it good. Don't spit in that cop's burger.
What the fuck's that?
It's my lucky crack bite. You don't have a lucky crack bite?
So, do you want to dip the size of your meal for a quarter more?
Want me to punch a size your face for free?
Go ahead. Make my day.
Give me a liter of cola.
A what?
A liter of cola.
Come on, don't pull that good cop, bad cop crap. I practically invented it. I fought the law and the
law won. I lost my gold. Just order a large farva.
I don't want a large farva. I want a goddamn liter of cola.
I don't know what that is.
Man's got to know his limitations.
Leader is French. For give me some fucking cola before I break Boo's fucking lip.
All right, relax.
The guy that I work with threw out this question the other day, carrying on to the discussion about, and tell me what you think. What your response here is. What's gayer? The video for All for One and One and All for Love. You know that one with Bryan Adams and Sting and Rod Stewart dancing together? What's gayer? That? the video for Dancing in the Streets or Rocky III? The way Ben describes the All for One video, it's like,
I have to go for All for One.
Yeah, he's like, you got Sting. I don't know if you'd call it a kilt. I wouldn't. It's a dress and pirate boots, and you got Bryan Adams looking kind of
Bryan Adams-y,
and he's at Rod Stewart doing all kinds of Matrix stuff while he's singing. Wow, like leaning backwards, and they're like, we got a song. We're doing the Three Musketeers. Let's have three dudes in an empty room singing about love.
Yeah.
That'll work, right? Sure.
I don't think that's what Dumas had in mind.
No, not at all. So, the other day, I'm driving home from work, and this will lead us into what the show ends up being about. And it's such a tragic fucking thing, but I'm driving down Spicewood, and there's every news station in the city is parked in this office building. It's like, okay, what the fuck? You know, they got the satellite feeds up. And Hope's like, yeah, I drove by there and they had like police tape up, crime scene van. Like, wow, we got to find out what's happening. That's kind of cool. Hey, look up. 1-year-old dies after being left alone in a car. It's like, well, God damn it. Thanks.
How'd the 1-year-old drive there?
I know. Well, remember, it's Austin. We're pretty fast and loose.
Keep it weird.
Yeah, keep it weird. Doo-doo. There's no controlling this city. But yeah, that was, it's like, holy shit, I can't have something cool. Like, you know, there was a shootout with you know, like Constantine and, but no, it can't be something awesome and like supernatural or badass. It's a fucking dead baby.
It's not Zool.
Yeah, there's no Zool. It's just
Gozer the Gozerian.
No.
A 1-year old that died.
Dead baby. I can't even stomach that idea. Like, and Ben was like, come on. You know who would do something like that? Me. That's why I don't have kids. Like, thank you, Ben, for putting that perspective there. Mm. So, yes. Yes, that happened.
So, the theme of the show is horrible, horrible tragedies.
Horrible tragedies. So, we're going to start by talking about Juno. No. Let's discuss cops in movies. The good, the bad, the ugly, the what have you, the misunderstood. And I'm going to start off going TV cop and ask, who is a better cop? Grissom from CSI Vegas or Horatio Caine from CSI Miami?
Vegas.
Vegas? Really? But Horatio Caine does everything. He's a sniper. He wears sunglasses. He is a ginger living in Miami.
Yep.
David
Ballsy.
Yeah. I see David Caruso and I think CSI Boston.
Yeah.
You know,
how did that escape him?
Yeah, you know, CSI...
Price sheet of shooting Boston, that's how that escaped him.
Yeah, probably. Wow. Have you ever tried parking in this city?
They're like, no, logistics say no.
Yeah, and it's tough to put some pasty Nor'easterners in bikinis and...
Still that name.
Horatio Caine. See, what I love about... Why I love Grissom from the original CSI is that he's just an unabashed fucking nerd. He's not some super cop who's doing all this shit. He is. No, I'd much rather be in the lab studying my bugs.
Right. Yeah.
This is what I do. This is my job. I'm a scientist.
Right.
And maybe trying to break off a little piece of Sarah Seidel.
He has.
Yeah, he has, yes. Well, I'm serious. It's fucking... how am I forgetting his name?
Bill? Patterson.
It's Patterson. Bill Patterson. Seriously. He's the only guy who's ever been able to pull off the hair being a different color than the beard perfectly, you know?
I don't know if he pulls it off so much as you just let it go.
Yeah. Like, well, no, you accept it. You love it. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
You wouldn't look right without that, you know? You're the man. And that brings to mind his character in To Live and Die in L.A.,
Oh, man.
So what is the assessment of that cop?
Well, as Secret Service agents go, he's quite good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just falls off the rails. Yeah. He gets a little obsessed.
It's that obsession that does it, because all he's trying to do is his job. Man's got to do his job.
And you know, they allude to that through the film, that he's a daredevil, he takes risks, blah, blah, blah. But it just progresses to, well, out of control, obviously. Well,
what I do like, though, is the comment that it makes on... Well, here's what's so weird is the number of movies that are made in L.A. where you've got these folks that scream, well, you know, police brutality, blah, but then we'll make shit about how cops' hands are tied by red tape and they're unable to do what needs to be done because of these regulations and the Constitution.
Yeah.
You know, like, you kind of got to pick a side there, don't you?
Yeah. Always got the feeling in the... Well, not the feeling.
It's pretty obvious, actually. It's not the job that he's about. It's not about justice. He's just about the thrill of the job.
Yeah, the thrill of the job and getting the guy.
Yeah.
You know? I beat you. I did
like
this.
Like Pacino in Heat.
Yeah.
Same kind of
thing. I'm only as good as what I'm chasing.
Right.
Wow! I'm feeling the... I just became Pacino. The wet spot! Under your chin.
Underneath you.
Underneath you. Now, boy. Yeah. But that right there, the Heat, I think, played best with that idea.
Yeah.
Actually, there's one character that I think even goes better than that. And I think you can tie him totally into Heat, and that is Jimmy McNulty.
Yeah.
From the Wire. It's weird. What makes him a good cop is what makes him a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he's not... like, if you looked at it from that show, when he wasn't murder policing...
Yeah.
He was a fucking... He was awesome. He was the best husband, boyfriend, father, everything you can imagine. But he was kind of dead on the inside because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing.
Right.
But then you give him a little bit of the rush...
And it's right back to it.
All... It... Oh, my God. It just all falls apart. I mean, it's...
It, no, Phil, I haven't finished the season yet.
Huh?
I was,
oh, you haven't finished the final season yet?
No.
It just feels so good when it hits you. That's what he turns into with it.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of cop that, like, I kind of look at it like that's the kind of cop that I want investigating if, you know, something were to happen to a person I care about.
Yeah.
Who do you want? I want McNulty. I don't give a fuck how crazy and out of hand he is when he's off it because, you know, the second that he sets in and does the job, it's getting done right.
Oh, yeah.
It is getting done fucking right. Which does bring to mind... Another person. Where do we fall on Vic Mackey? Because, boy, he started off as the best cop you could imagine. He had some unorthodox tactics. Yeah. I'm being kind.
Shooting the guy in the face.
He did shoot another cop in the face. the first episode.
That notwithstanding.
That.
His work with the phone book is beyond reproach.
That's true. But if you look at it, he really... He started off with such the best intentions. Like, how can we work... How can we create a system that will keep this city as safe as possible?
Because
if you look at it, that's the whole thing that it started out as. I mean, what I remember about Mackey more than anything is that first episode when they were trying to find that girl who'd been kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent him in to question that guy. And even though the cops who were on the case... didn't like Mackey and didn't like his tactics. They were like, shit, he is the only person who can get what we need right now. And that, I think, Vic Mackey, in a lot of those, raised the ultimate question when it comes to cops in general. And that is, what are we willing to accept to be safe?
Yeah, like, there's an interesting parallel with that particular writer's characters with Mackey, who... knows the system is screwed, doesn't trust it, and trusts his gut and his own tactics to get the job done, and ultimately does in his own way before he spirals out of control.
Yeah.
As opposed to the agent in Sons of Anarchy who has complete faith in the power of her system and how everything's going to work, and don't you worry, the gears of the machine will get you, and as soon as she steps even a toe up past the line, she just... explodes.
Yep.
Doesn't know where to go. Doesn't have any bearings.
Yeah. And that's what's interesting is to me, Mackey, I think, always had sight of where he was supposed to be, but had given himself so much over to the outlaw thing.
Yeah.
That in the end, he really had no idea. He had no moorings. He had nothing to connect to. Whereas, you know, that woman had the moorings that she desperately needed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Mackey, I think that had it not been for the money coming in on it, had he not found a way to make it profitable, would have worked that system to end up being the best cop ever. He would have kept those streets safe. He would have kept the people there safe. But it's... I mean, I've never been a cop. I don't know if you knew this about me, but no, I haven't.
No. Fascinating.
I don't know what it takes to do that.
No.
And, I mean, especially at the level that he reached with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that wasn't just, oh, I'm a uniform in a, you know, kind of rough neighborhood. That's, I'm in charge of the toughest division in the toughest part of one of the toughest cities in the nation.
Yeah.
And I have to deal with this.
Yeah.
And even if you look at it, you got Wagonbaugh on the same show who is another total believer in the system. He's completely chained to all of that, you know, every level of it. I've got to learn this. I've got to learn how to work this. I've got to become part of that. And
but he realizes he turns into more of an apparatchik, and or started off as an apparatchik and finds his way out.
Mm-hmm.
But still completely legit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Despite that whole strangling a kitten thing that didn't go anywhere.
Which the best thing that they ever dropped. Just, we've got to get away from this.
Yeah.
Because I know what they were going for with it, I think.
I think so.
But they would have had to have gone really extreme, because that would have turned into a totally different show. You know, they shouldn't have had it at all.
No.
I mean, they needed him to find a woman who wasn't, you know, a victim's wife.
Yeah. That would help.
That would have helped, but now, that show, what's so weird is if you look at the utter corruption of everyone else. I mean, the only character on that show that wasn't totally corrupted was the Pounder, CCH Pounder. Mm-hmm. That she was the only person that was beyond reproach in it.
Yeah.
Even Glenn Close's character got a little...
Yeah, she... Plenty.
Yeah. Yeah. And Forrest Whitaker...
Whoa. Completely unraveled. But he's kind of the template for the other character in Sons.
Yeah. But sort of. What's weird, though, is I saw Forrest Whitaker as being, it's like a sterile system that has a corrupting influence added to it.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, here's a speck of dust. It's, oh, this is a spotless machine that's perfectly good. I'm going to dump 10 pounds of sand in it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Vic Mackey was. Vic Mackey was such a black hole of corruption at that point. Because if you look at it, that is the most corrupt world and the most realistic portrayal of an utterly corrupt world.
Yeah.
Because everyone was lying to everyone else. Everyone was bullshitting and stabbing him in the back and using and manipulating and advancing themselves at whatever cost. And he walks in there completely clean and clear, like, we're going to do this. But you know, it's that you, to quote 8mm, you dance with the devil... The devil doesn't change. Either, the devil changes you. And Vic is, without question, the devil. I am pulling every cable. Mm-hmm. I am in control of all of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually kind of reminds me of like a Vic Mackey who had more of a moral center is Sipowicz off NYPD Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had that, but he was so completely, here is the line that will not be crossed.
Yeah.
You know, he had such more... well, and that's... You know, you look at Dennis Franz, and he is either the scummiest douche or, like, the most heroic guy down the street, you know? That's, there's no real middle ground when you got that kind of vibe happening.
He's the biggest hero, and as portrayed by every man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because they really... They even made his flaws larger than life, you know? Just, he's a... But you look at the shit that he went through. I mean, his son is a cop who gets killed, and you want to talk about something that'll knock you off the wagon.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a total cup clean, no alcohol. You going to tell me that your kid getting killed as a cop ain't going to drive you to drink?
Bullshit.
That night? Yeah. I mean, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But it's... I mean, that they showed... Again,
replacing my blood with Jameson's.
Those three characters, you know, between the McNulty, the Mackey, and the Sipowicz, is they kind of, I think, all three of them show the different tolls that that kind of job takes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, homicide cop, that's, you know, if you're a burglary cop, you know, I'll try and hopefully we'll find your stuff.
Yeah.
That's different from, no, we're not going to be able to return anything.
Yeah.
All we're going to do is find the person who did it.
Mm-hmm.
Caruso on NYPD Blue was fantastic. And
God,
the fact that he left that was the most baffling case of hubris I've ever seen. Like, dude, you've got a good thing. You ride this till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, but yeah, this is not something you want to sacrifice on the altar of Jade.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, actually, even before he did Jade, he did...
Oh, with Nicolas Cage.
Kiss of Death.
Kiss of Death remake.
Oh, my Lord.
Saw that in the theater. I saw Jade the theater, too.
Really? I have not seen Jade. It's got Linda Fiorentino in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. Speaking of, I saw After Hours, the Scorsese flick.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, but talk about some of the best camera work. Like, really awesome camera moves in it. The movie itself, really awesome camera work. I mean, the whole thing is predicated on him trying to go get some strange off Rosanna Arquette in the middle of the night. And everything going as bad as humanly possible.
Right.
It's quite interesting.
That's cool.
So, what kind of cops do you think we could talk about here?
Well, I was looking at my list and talking about TV cops that I didn't really consider. But I'm looking at all the usual suspects of cops slash action stuff, and I realize that as good as some of these cops are in these movies, Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, Cobra, Black Rain, they don't have enough time to really get into that kind of character and the job that a TV show does, especially TV now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They can really explore all the nuances and all the things that go in. Those little pieces that help to build up a character and the arc that that kind of character needs.
Yeah?
You can't do Justified in a one-off.
Oh, God, no.
You can't do The Shield in a one-off.
Oh, God, no.
You know, it's not going
to
happen.
If I were to put, though, the best cop that's out there right now, you need to get on Justified.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what's his name?
Oliphant
as, what's his fucking name? As Raylan Givens?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord. Right. That is the first scene that he's in sets his character up perfectly.
Yeah.
You saw that episode?
I saw the first four episodes.
Where he sat down with that guy's like, I told you if we weren't out of town, I'd shoot you. And that's Raylan. There it is. One fucking scene nails it. But that's what I love about FX. FX is the only channel that allows shit like that to happen and breathe.
Yeah.
And really become, you know, take the life and become rooted so perfectly.
Because there's a bigger art, going on with the stories that connect. They're not episodic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some of these other procedurals, all of the Law and Orders, for example.
Uh-huh.
And every time they tie a little thing together to give a character some more breadth, backstory, and length of development, they always cut it off.
Yeah.
And it's always later on with the popularity of the character they start giving you pieces.
Right.
With Bobby in Criminal Intent, D'Onofrio's character.
Where they were kind of trying to go for the...
Obviously setting up as a Sherlock, and that he has a Moriarty in that.
Yeah.
I
haven't seen any of them, so...
Blonde lady, I can't remember her name. Nicole something.
Yeah.
And they give little pieces, like his mom's schizophrenic and his brother's a drug addict.
Right.
So let's... Because of the popularity of the character, they started giving you more.
Right, right.
And that's when it got really interesting. And they'd cut it off or switch it off with another, with Noth and what's her name.
Right.
And you're like, I don't give a shit about this.
Yeah.
Or things with Elliot Stabler and SVU, where you can tell there's some juicy stuff to go into, but they can't get it.
I kind of gave up on a lot of the Law and Orders because I have twice seen the SVU where the little girl ends up on the phone with them. That alone, I'm like, okay, I am good.
Yes.
I am fine here.
A little question about some choices you made in your life. Watch this for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll realize you're not a monster.
Lord, I'm the greatest man who's ever lived, aren't I?
Yeah.
But yes, those, like, television right now to me is it's always cop and doctor shows.
Right.
Because those are the easiest to generate the drama in. Like, the CSI, not the CSI, the Law and Order, I think the reason I've never gotten into it is, I don't give a shit about the cases. I want to know about the people. That's what NYPD Blue had going that was so strong about it. The cases came and went, but the cases always kind of got thrown aside. You know, the cases were always a secondary to the people.
Right.
And
that's just better drama.
Exactly.
The difference between drama and a dramatic series and episodic television.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And
So let's look at some folks from movies here. And well, we can debate and discuss and throw all kinds of cool
things. And speaking of these same things about cops and a greater story along with their job, The Departed, obviously, Infernal Affairs.
Now I'm going to throw something out about The Departed that Jason, huge fan of the show, guy I know, loves to discuss this one. And he says, he throws out this idea. Is it possible that DiCaprio is Nicholson's son? And you have to look at the behavior on this. First off, when he beats the shit out of those mob guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're dead before he even has a chance to tell Nicholson, before Nicholson has talked to him about it. Because they're wearing the same clothes they were when he kicked their asses. They're still wearing the same clothes. Look at the way he reacts to and tries to help out DiCaprio, as opposed to the guy he knows is on his side, Damon.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the treatment and the trust and all of that. I mean, we're dealing with a totally different... And he goes into more detail on it and what he posted on the page, on the website, but I kind of look at it and go, that's just a fascinating idea.
It is.
I mean, it could be wrong.
Interesting take.
I'm gonna look up the actual email, but... there is, I don't know, man. It's one of those things that would add so much to it that I'm going to find the... Because his
man, you know what would have really made that... It's tantalizing to think about, if they had just thrown in some kind of reference to his mother.
Yeah, because they barely, you know...
Talk about his father. Talk about how much he respected his father.
Right.
And there's a whole lot of respect for the father. There's an inordinate amount of respect for the father for someone who may have fucked his mother.
Which is true. That's true. That's true.
In that culture, especially.
Yeah.
We're not talking about another group of mafiosis here. We're talking about the Irish mob.
Right.
Not that they don't fuck each other's wives.
Yeah.
Outside of the, you know, but I don't know.
It's, there's, I guess, a very different, let me see here. I'm trying to find the exact wording that he sent. Come on. Don't give me this crap. Because the exact wording, you know, it's like Ghost Meets Manchurian Candidate is not the one I'm looking for. Not The Art of the Heist. It would be before that. So I think it would be like, I found what I'm looking for. Not Fanboys, Fan Men. God. See, this is what makes our show special, is that they can listen to me look through emails.
You'll be on the edge of your seat.
Yeah. Oh, is he going to find it yet? Who knows?
Honey, come listen. Jim's
about to find an email. This could be the greatest moment ever. Let's see, not how the... I'm almost there. Oh, no, I've passed it. Shit, but no, he's got some really good points. Go to our website and check that shit out, because it's like a really...
It's interesting, though.
He makes... like, seriously, I'm wanting to find it, because it is such... The way he words it is so... absolutely solid, then I'm like, holy shit, I've got to... Actually, I'm going to mark this as a moment to pause here at 23, because this I need to... Where is it, motherfucker? Motherfucker.
You're going to pay, and I mean seriously, motherfucker.
I mean seriously. Okay, so here he goes. Okay, next time you guys watch The Departed, take a look and watch under the assumption that DiCaprio is Nicholson's son in the movie. And the only characters that know it are Costello, Mr. French, Sheen, and Wahlberg. Maybe DiCaprio's dickhead uncle in the hospital scene. I know they give the whole he is Jackie's nephew story, but I for some reason think that Scorsese had a deeper intent that isn't in the script. Try watching it with this in mind. I'm convinced it holds water, especially the way that Nicholson delivers some of his lines, and even stuff like the two mob guys that he kills to protect DiCaprio are still wearing the clothes that they were in the fight scene. He treats DiCaprio like a son and Damon like shit. So maybe he had an affair and let another man raise him because he wasn't interested at the time. Does that fit with Costello?
I mean, those two guys ultimately got whacked because they were impeding the territory.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I gathered the first time.
Uh-huh. But it's still the speed with which it happened. I mean, it could not. It's an interesting take. Idea. It's kind of like my whole, you know, Rutger Hauer is not really there in The Hitchhiker.
Right. You know, yeah. Talk about a different take. That should have been on the different take show.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting
take.
Yeah. But and I think that since, you know, since you brought up The Departed, it was a cool one to bring up.
Oh, yeah.
But like you look at that and that is, you know, DiCaprio and Dignan, like Wahlberg and DiCaprio are such, those are the only cops that without question,
yeah,
you're like, these fuckers are on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Dignan, I mean, the only one that he trusts afterwards is Dignan, and Dignan shooting. Oh, spoiler alert. Dignan shooting Damon is like, yeah, that's how that would go down. I mean, and again, I'm one of those weird people where it's like I'm a huge Law and Order believer. You know, I believe in the Constitution. But I also believe, you know, in very much that whole Remo Williams thing, that there are people out there who know how to twist it and manipulate it to get away with a whole bunch of shit. And I'm not encouraging vigilantism. All I'm saying is I'm not sad when one of those people gets fucking murdered.
Right.
It's a bold statement on my part, I know, but...
Sure.
Mm. So, yeah, but that... All of the cops in that are... It's so weird because you're left... I'm left, at least, with the idea that maybe... Maybe there's more... maybe there's more corruption there than we know about. Well, definitely there's more corruption, but how many, you know, is... You know, not Ding, but you know, is Alec Baldwin been touched by it? Are all any of these other characters corrupt? Because you don't know. You honestly, you're left with this web of fuck. Everyone could be backstabbing everyone else.
Yeah, well, also depends on, you know, how you look. Speaks more how you look at the world. Do you look at it as everyone is a certain level of clean, and then other things happen, or
is everyone
a little touched?
Is everyone as filthy as they can stand?
Right, or are, as I believe, people will get away with whatever they can get away with?
Yeah, that's yeah. Which brings a more interesting question to my mind: is Clancy Wiggum a good cop or not?
He's fantastic.
He's fantastic.
You seen the crime rate in Springfield?
Yeah,
they have Snake.
Yeah,
that's it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Snake keeps getting out, and they keep busting him.
But they keep busting him.
Keep busting him.
Yeah. That's more on the prison system,
you know,
in Springfield than
the warden
else.
Is terrible.
Yeah, ouch.
The judge is very lax.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
Boys will be boys. But
except they will run someone out of town on the rails.
Yeah.
If they...
Or catapult.
Or catapult, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Wiggum strikes me, you know, yeah, not... That strikes me as a no-fucking-about type of guy.
That's right.
Much like the sheriff of Malibu in The Big Lebowski.
That's right. I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face.
I don't like
you, jerk-off.
When he's
reactionary.
When he throws the coffee cup. Because that shit comes out of nowhere. And it's one of two out-of-nowhere responses. I just can't stand the fucking Eagles. Get the fuck out of my cab!
Right.
Like that, just the two totally over-the-top. Fuck you reaction.
Right.
But here's the question. What is it, before we go further into it, where is the line between good and bad cop drawn?
Like I said, it speaks more to where do you look, you know, Law and Order, but you're not against some scumbag getting iced.
Yeah.
You know, by whatever means he gets iced.
I think it goes back to Omar's statement, a man's got to have a code.
Right.
And it has to do with that code.
Think about Tommy Lee Jones in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
He is unquestionable that the guy is Law and Order, to the line, to the letter, no problem.
Right.
The fact that all this other corruption is happening around him, it's like he's surprised by it.
Right.
Like, what the hell's happening
out
there?
What the hell's going on here?
What the hell? Like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he knows that there's evil out there. He's seen it all his life, and it's always been the same. Yeah. You see more of it now.
Right.
But now things, he's starting to see the cracks in the culture and civilization more.
Well,
it's
not just the cracks in the culture and civilization. He's seeing the cracks in the foundation he's built his world on.
Exactly.
And that hits so much to the core of it.
Right.
You know, and then they bring in this is his dad. My fucking favorite Texan actors.
Emmett.
No, your missile defense system sucks.
Right. Yeah, that's not his name. What is his name?
It's not Emmett, but that guy.
Yes.
The only other person. Yeah, I love that dude, and you all know who we're talking about. But that you're right. There is that. Who would do this? Who would put themselves in this kind of danger?
Yeah.
Just for a quick buck. You live your life right, things turn out.
Right.
Which I can totally get behind.
Or, you know, then you have kind of the opposite in Dirty Harry.
Yeah, but I will tell you right now, of all the cops, because I've got Callahan on my list. Mm-hmm. If one of your loved ones was killed, of all the cops on your list, who would you most want investigating that homicide?
Harry Callahan.
Yeah, Harry. No, there's no question, Harry Callahan. Because Harry Callahan would tear the fucking world apart to find who did it. Mm-hmm. And not just find who did it, but make sure that that fucking punk got the business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing the video game L.A. Noir right now.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Fantastic. It's three discs.
Oh, awesome.
It is epic. It is sprawling. There is all kinds of cool police work happening. But my cousin is in the game.
Ah.
Pops up in a couple spots. But he's in. While you're driving around solving your cases, you'll get calls like, there's a homicide. You know, there's a call. Shots fired. And officer. And you can respond to these street crimes. I respond to one where these guys are outside of a shop. Apparently, they'd been shoplifting. And then my cousin comes out, waving up his like, these guys have robbed my store three times. One of the guys shoots him and kills him.
No!
And he was like, Bobby! But as I told him, I said, I saw you shot in front of me, but I doled out some .45 caliber justice. So I hope that makes you feel better. But yeah. And what's great about that game...
I can avenge you over and over.
Over and over again, sir. My attitude on that game is if somebody fires at me, I kill them. There's no wing them and try... Like, you fired a shot at me?
What?
Like, how many bullets... And I will...
I'm sorry, I dropped the gun.
And
no!
I pull the... that classic bang, 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 click, 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 click.
Right.
If only they'd let me reload and keep firing bullets into...
What are those cheat codes?
You fired a gun... Are you out your fucking mind?
Right.
You fired a gun at me? But that actually brings me to mind of the three cops in L.A. Confidential.
Oh, yeah.
Bud White, Jack Vincennes, Ed Exley. Now, I love the triangle of attitudes there. That you've got, you know, Bud White, who is uncorruptible,
mm-hmm.
except for the fact that he's totally fucking corrupt. You know? But he's corrupt in the way you want him to be corrupt. You're a criminal coming to town, you're pushing drugs, I'll whip your fucking ass until mm-hmm. you leave. And I do, the line I love is like, I've always admired your adherence to violence as one of these, as one of the dictates of the job, especially in regards to woman beaters.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. But that he is the guy with the clearest code, the clearest yeah. sense of honor. Then you get Jack Vincennes, you know, Hollywood Jack.
Yeah.
Totally corrupt, totally, you know, will ruin someone's life if it gets him a little more, you know, of the attention that he wants
yeah.
of being the celebrity cop. And then you get Ed Exley, who I think is a phenomenal cop, except yet conventional wisdom shows the way he is at the beginning, the way that we're trained to think of these things. He is totally career motivated and all that, but he's not sacrificing the job. He's, right. you know, I'm going to get credit for it, but he wants to make sure that the job gets done and gets done right.
Right.
I mean, and that's what makes him such a phenomenal officer to me is that it's, yeah, I'm going to move myself. Because in the book, the end of the book, he's head of internal affairs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he moves a lot further ahead in it.
Right.
But which of those three cops from that movie would you say was the best?
White.
White? Yeah.
Yeah. I hear your code, and I see the system, and I understand
right.
its rules, but I also know that this is a lot more effective.
Yeah. But he also will use his brains. He'll use the old bucket.
Not an idiot.
And put this shit together when he needs to. But I'm kind of with you on that. Like, I admire the way, you know, that Exley can get shit done. But Bud White, I guess when it comes to law and order, when it comes to safety of people, I'm a lot more primal.
Yeah.
I'm just a whole lot more animalistic. And Bud White speaks to that so much, where it's like, you hurt a child, why are you even getting a fucking trial?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, call me what you will on that. If you think, yeah.
You know, it takes a monster to hunt a monster, I want a monster to have rules of his
mm-hmm.
own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, Callahan and Bud White both fit into that beautifully. Yeah. You know who else does? Rodney Farva. But I wrote it.
Say Carl Ramrod.
Carl Ramrod. Oh, I'm sorry, dude. But I wrote it.
I wrote it
on the paper. That.
I don't want a liter of cola.
I don't want a liter of cola. Actually, wait. Wait, what was it?
It's French. Forgive me, fucking cola.
Can I get a large? Just get a large Farva. I don't want a large Farva. I want a liter. Just right. Get a large Farva. I don't want a large Farva. I want a liter of cola. Liter is French. Give me some goddamn cola. Fucking lips. I love Super Troopers.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. Best mayor ever.
Spread it on.
You know, that was at the very end of the show for a long time.
Yes.
We were just at the end of anyone who let it keep playing. Spread it on. But yes, those cops are fun, but we can't really.
Yeah, the ghost cops had their own code.
Yeah, they did.
Corrupt in a funny way.
Corrupt in a
funny way. Whereas
fun in a corrupt way.
As the local cops were completely corrupt.
Exactly. No fun there. No fun at all.
Where'd you get the Canadian tuxedo?
I did not specify. Now, here's a cop that I want to ask about because I think it's pretty cut and dried. What's your attitude on Norman Stansfield from The Professional? Everyone!
Yeah, he's very goal-oriented.
Yeah, he really is. You get the vibe that he could be a brilliant cop.
Mm.
If he hadn't shot and murdered that child.
Well,
that's a big strike against you.
Yeah.
Killing a kid, take some of the shine off your medals.
It does tarnish the gold.
Yeah, a touch.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stansfield, that's one that's a tough one to really look at there. So let's get into some folks we can talk more in depth about.
Marion Cobretti.
Oh, Marion Cobretti. Oh my God, I love the 80s.
Completely owned coat.
For the simple fact that every time a tough cop walked into a convenience store, it got robbed by people with thousands of dollars worth of weaponry.
Yeah,
that people
haul off the grocery till.
Yeah. Somebody has a full, three guys with full auto weapons.
Yeah.
Are looking to take down the Wag-a-Bag.
Yeah. That's right.
No matter how many people they have to kill.
Yeah. This Piggly Wiggly is going down. This is a score we're going to retire on,
yeah.
Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Operation Pig Crack is on.
We're going to crack the pig tonight.
I was going to say. Hope to God the zombie squad doesn't show. Oh, shit. Oh, here comes Marion Cobretti chewing on a match, drinking a hot Coors before he shoots me. Shit.
Now what? Ain't that just a fun how to do?
Yeah.
How did 80... Like, Henry Rollins put it so well, especially when he was talking about like Lethal Weapon. He would spend so much time filling out paperwork.
Oh, won't
like, the amount of time, like, Jesus. Certainly. How many people have you killed today?
I like to think that they used the zombie squad as a vehicle to somehow say, he didn't have to do that paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's done later by someone else.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, Riggs and Murtaugh, man. The pool scene alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you handcuffed those two girls to a tree.
Uh-huh.
And then this other guy showed up and you shot him in the pool and you both fell in the pool.
Yes, I did.
And then you stay there and Riggs watch football while his clothes are being dried.
Yes.
And what about these other leads?
His clothes were wet.
I see.
And...
Because you were there a long time. It was night when y'all left.
Well, you don't want to do police work in damp clothes. It distracts you. You miss something. I mean, hey.
Did you think about questioning the guy? I mean...
It was
he did pull a shotgun on you, so I see that. But anyway,
yeah, it's hard to ask questions in the pool. You know, it's a little less formal.
Did they invite you in? I mean, she did say come right in, but she didn't know you. Did you inform yourself of who you were?
Well, she didn't seem to have a problem that we were there.
Yeah,
yeah. It seemed to be all right that we walked.
Yeah, y'all are both on leave indefinitely until we work this whole thing out.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. But no, we're going to promote you. We're going to promote. Like, how in the fourth one, yo, all that we have left are captains, so you're both like,
yeah.
Is that how that happens?
The third one, is the third one they have the corrupt cop?
Yeah.
And the whole finale is in the building?
Yeah.
The construction
yes,
site?
Uh-huh.
Okay, first of all, from my point of view, that is a radical pain in the ass. What happened here? I go out to inspect a frame and this happens? What?
You know how they actually, you know what that set was?
Gotta tear this whole thing down again.
It was actually a Habitat for Humanity build that started.
Oh, so it's a piece of shit.
But they found out that they weren't using...
Spoilers.
It wasn't up to code.
Shocking.
Yeah. So they had to abandon it. So it's like, wait, we can just use this. That, actually, that film...
Shocking.
That the third one has the greatest moment in the history of movies. And I'm going to go on a tangent here, surprisingly. You have this kid cop who pops up, never been seen before, never been mentioned before, never talked about. Oh, yeah, you're a little wet behind the ears. Hey, guys, can I go along on the big bus to the underground tunnels with you? Sure! Aren't you almost 21? It's my birthday! Like, oh, this little fucker's dead. Like, this little dude doesn't stand a chance. And then as he dies, what does Mel Gibson say to him? Happy birthday, kid.
Happy birthday, kid.
What it reminded me of is I was actually reading a couple articles after work today about very special episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And my three very favorite very special episodes are Two Family Ties and One Growing Pains. The Two Family Ties, totally unconnected. Did you ever see the one where Michael J. Fox's best friend dies in a traffic accident and he goes to see the black box theater psychiatrist? Mm-hmm. How many times before that episode was his best friend mentioned? Fewer. Fewer. Fewer.
Ever?
Never. Never mentioned before. You know how many times he was mentioned after?
Never?
Never. Oh. Never mentioned.
I love that.
But yet they have this whole episode where his world was turned upside down by this guy's death.
Fantastic.
Then there was another episode of Family Ties that I think there's a different name for it, but it will only be remembered by one descriptive sentence, and that is the one where Tom Hanks drinks vanilla extract. Where he'd mentioned before as Elise's brother, and he showed up and got arrested. And then he comes back, and suddenly he's got a drinking problem, and it's so bad that he chugs vanilla extract to get the buzz. I don't know. It was the 80s, more innocent time. After that episode, where he pimp slaps Michael J. Fox. Like, you whap! Right! Just right across the face. And an entire country went, finally. How many times after that episode was the brother mentioned?
Never.
Never. Then, Growing Pains. There's the episode where Tracy Gold, the sister, the smart sister, they introduce her boyfriend, who is played by Matthew Perry, who is like, oh, they're so serious. They're not going to get married. The family loves them. But he, you know, a little bit drinking, then went out driving and got into a car accident, and he ended up dying. You know, she goes and talks to him in the hospital. That was the only episode where he was mentioned at all. He was not set up before. It was just, hey, let's bring him in to kill him. That's what this kid was. It was, what's the quickest way we can get a reaction? What if we have a character, you know, it's like...
This is for Star Trek. We put him in a red uniform.
Yeah, date of birth, you know, 8-9-88, 12:03 p.m. Date of death, 8-9-88. 12:10 p.m. Like, right. we're putting a timer on you now.
Right.
I wonder how much longer you're going to last. But yeah, the Martin Riggs, that... I love Shane Black. And I love the fact that he's like, we're not going to get bogged down in that. Just accept this world for what it is.
Yeah.
But we've got a guy who's going to jump off a building. So what I'm going to do is handcuff myself to him and jump off with it. You did what?
Yeah.
I think you need to be on administrative leave for a little while.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, take care of a desk for a bit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That might be a good idea.
No, he'd be riding desk at the Christmas tree singing along.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Do it. Shoot me. Oh, no. You're riding the fucking pine, my man. You're out.
Yeah. I just love how apparently...
You're going nuts with Anthony Kiedis' dad there for a while. No.
Apparently, L.A. is just the fucking wild, wild west. Like, right. No, law don't go right here, law don't.
Law don't go right here, law don't.
We do whatever needs be done.
That's right.
Interesting question. Who is a better cop, Wyatt Earp? Costner or...
I mean, maybe by procedurals we can go with Kevin Costner, but come on. Mm.
Russell.
When Russell finally decides he's going to put a badge on.
Yeah.
Hoorah! Like,
hoo-ah! When he walks across... No! He walks across the river.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Fucking hit the bricks, man.
Yeah, like, I am leaving.
I am gone. I am in fucking Oxnard. Yeah. By the time he finishes his first roll of bullets.
Yeah. Bye-bye. No, I don't know you. Here's my cowboy scarf.
Yeah, I don't own this.
Enjoy it. I don't need this shit.
Law don't go around here, but apparently this showed up.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Although, I stand by it. When those guys come into town, you need to give up your gun, blah, and then you just cold cocks the shit out of that guy. Like, what did you do that? Like, hey, I told him to do a thing.
Right.
He did not do the thing that I told him to do, so I did the other thing. It seemed to solve. Wyatt Earp's
a very effective police officer.
Hell yeah. And that's the thing, is that do you want a cop who's going to... that Mitchell and Webb sound...
Keep the peace any way you can.
Nice. I'm probably going to put at the beginning of this, there's a Mitchell and Webb audio thing where it's a cop who they're trying to suspend. He's like, you may not like me. I may not get results, but by God, I do things by the book. It's just like, you're suspended. No. In order to suspend an officer, you have to fill out this form and trip and get and it's just the guy who knows the paperwork side.
It's like Friday from the Dragnet movie.
Yes, exactly. Oh, speaking of, what did you? I have not seen the remake, the Aykroyd Hanks.
You haven't seen that?
Not since it was in theaters.
Oh, wow. I've seen that thing a billion times.
And I somewhat remember it.
It's hilarious.
Yes, I enjoyed it quite a bit. But how...
It's still funny.
How was he as a policeman in that?
By the fucking book.
By the book.
Completely nice. By the book.
Yes.
Hanks, pretty much by the book, too. He's just a little eccentric.
That was back when Hanks was allowed to be funny.
Yeah.
You remember those days?
Yeah.
He still pops up and is funny in things on occasion, but not in the way that I want him to be. Because he was a quirky, and then he, you know, does the AIDS movie and the moron movie, and suddenly we can't get a laugh out of him. He's serious. He's an actor.
An actor.
An artiste, yes.
Yeah. Well, you're always Pep Strebeck to me.
Yeah, Pep Strebeck, exactly. Oh, man.
Yes, I enjoy that very much.
Pep Strebeck, not the best slightly rhyming cop name ever.
No.
What is the best rhyming cop name ever?
Who's that?
Gino Foligno.
Oh, yeah.
That movie, I still don't know if he's a good cop or not, but
He's there.
He definitely...
Plugging away.
Flips people around a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So let's look at... Walter Matthau as Lieutenant Zachary Garber in Pelham 123.
Yeah.
That's what cop is to me. A dirty workman like, we're gonna grind this out.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna sit down, we're gonna hash this out.
Mm-hmm.
Cops ain't pretty. Cops ain't, you know, police work ain't glamorous and gorgeous. It's
right. It's very Barney Miller, but
exactly.
With more bullets.
Yeah. With a lot more bullets. A lot more bullets.
Yeah.
How about Frank Drebin? Police squad.
Well,
Naked Gun.
His heart's in the right place.
His heart's very much in the right.
Very much the Law and Order guy by the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
A thirst for justice.
Mm-hmm.
But, can't argue that, but you know, just can't seem to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's not for a lack of trying.
No, it's not. So is RoboCop a good cop or not?
I think he's fantastic.
You think he's fantastic? He's
a fantastic cop. I mean, the collateral damage is a little heavy.
A little, yeah.
It's not Joe Huff heavy from Stone Cold.
Right. Oh, God, no. There will never be Joe Huff heavy.
But, you know.
That let's discuss these two. Now, I want to do, let's look at how the after report on Stone Cold would go. I think it would be like, so we sent you out to prevent the judge from being killed. Did that work?
Not even.
What happened?
It's worse than that.
It's worse, yeah.
We sent you out to recon some info on an outlaw biker gang
right.
That's responsible for prostitution, drugs, extortion, gun running, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Get in there, find some information.
Okay.
So that we can then bust these corrupt guys before they do anything really bad.
Yeah. Well, define really bad.
Really bad would be shooting Whipperton.
Right.
Oh, that's another thing. All they really wanted to do was shoot Whipperton. Crack the whip. Yeah, that was the whole thing. We're going to shoot Whipperton.
Yeah.
Okay. Grant. Whatever. Because they already shot the fucking... Trouble Owen shot a priest for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
But okay, so you want to shoot Whipperton because...
He thinks that he should go to jail for shooting the priest.
Right. Whatever.
What a dick.
Okay. Well, Joe, we want you to go in there and get some information so we can take these guys down.
Okay.
Okay, Chief. Yeah. I'll become a prospect. Prospect! What's prospect? And go into all they go into the whole thing where he gets into the gang, and absolutely zero goals are accomplished.
Yeah, yeah.
Before everyone dies.
Yeah.
Everyone.
The helicopter explosion alone probably killed 100
and
people.
And none of these previous arguments hold to Joe Huff. Like,
yeah.
He has his own code, but he understands the machine and blah, blah. No, no, no. He's just some ham-fisted bam-bam. Pretty bam-bam.
Bam-bam.
Use that stick. Just fucks everything up that he possibly can. He fucks up the one thing where he takes the ear from the Cuban drug dealer that works for the gang. He fucks that up. Make sure he goes away, man. He shows up at the end, and that's what finally sends things off to a spiral. Put him on a plane, make sure he doesn't come back. No, no, you put him in a box and keep him there.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
It's kind of like if you were to take that safety catch off of the air hammer and just start shooting nails around, see where they land.
So completely. Actually, all the law enforcement in that lore.
Lore.
Law enforcement.
All the law enforcement. That's terrible.
It's completely inept. We've talked about this before, but it bears repeating.
Especially in this context.
I mean, my God.
How many people died?
How many people died in that courtroom? A goddamn minigun glued to the bottom of a seat in the courthouse of the state. The Supreme Court of the state.
Is it a minigun?
It's a fucking Uzi is underneath the seat. How did they? When did they plant that thing? When did they plant?
And didn't he seem to?
And if he had to do it a few months in advance, how do you know this?
Well, and couldn't he say, "Hey, they're going to try and kill they're going to try and crack the whip. Maybe we want to check the courtroom out ahead of time. Maybe look, take a little peek and ease through the courtroom.
Perhaps
make
not
sure.
Only that the janitorial services of that state senate suck too." They go and pick papers and sweep under the seats. Hey, look at that. There's an Uzi under here planted by the Brotherhood. God knows when, because we can't be sure. Lance Henriksen's going to cut all his hair off and shave and come as a priest. And when they come to the metal detector cross, he opens up his rosary. Oh, it's my rosary. It's my rosary. All right. They got a minigun right underneath the seat. Not just crack the whip. He shoots everybody.
Yeah. A lot of people die.
Yes, I've seen that movie 30 times.
Yeah.
That's a very conservative estimate.
That is a very conservative estimate.
God damn, that is some in-depth analysis of Stone Cold. That's really the tip of the
iceberg. I think that we know our next commentary.
Absolutely. Why have we done that before?
Well, we're going to have to save that until you're in Austin when we can do two or three viewings to really script that out. Right. Martin Riggs, jeez. How about Axel Foley?
Fantastic cop.
He really is.
He should probably do it in his jurisdiction.
Yeah, he should probably do it somewhere where he's not just a person.
Use those powers that he apparently turns on in L.A. in Detroit.
In Detroit, maybe clean up some of the crime in Detroit.
Yeah, they're not lacking for it.
No, you know who really needs my tough urban way of protecting folk? The fine people of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
My God, someone is smuggling cocaine into Beverly Hills. Well, guess what? They're not selling it to school kids.
Yeah.
You know, you're not busting up some terror. Like, you're stopping a dude who's importing cocaine. An art dealer is bringing cocaine into. Oh, my God.
He's bringing drugs into the art community?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
How will they create?
Narcotics and the arts?
No.
Together at last?
Where are we going to get really abstract paintings of Jesus?
Come on.
Yeah. I'm making a statement here. The mushroom.
Hold on, I need a bump.
Hold on. See, it's a Although that does explain that Tosh guy that does the paintings of unicorns, Obamas, and Obama with unicorns. And did you see that, the naked Obama with the unicorns and pancakes?
Mm-hmm.
My God. No, we need to keep drugs away from that man, apparently.
No.
Otherwise, he'd be painting houses.
Otherwise, he may be doing something useful.
Something productive and useful, yeah. No, we need more exploration of this theme.
Yeah.
My foot's in the water because I'm directing America. What? So let's look at... you be careful out there among those English book. From Witness. Witness. That, he is... I think that he might have had sex with Kelly McGillis.
Yes.
Might have.
I think so.
And I think that's bad for that.
And Lucas Haas.
Yeah, well, did you see
about that? Is a different take.
Yeah, different take on Witness. That it was all just a fever dream. He killed Danny Glover with corn.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a worse death than drowning?
Yes, but I mean, still.
Yeah. With spider leeches?
Yeah.
Drowning in corn. In corn. My God.
Sugar level's really high.
Yeah, I know. The glucose index on that Woo! Is through the fucking roof. I mean, it's such a sweet, delicious death. But that really just, shit. He took care of business there in more ways than one. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I didn't really mean
Yeah,
to
you
do
did.
That.
You meant
I did. I took, you know, I think could have made a great cop if you just had a little bit more of an attitude adjustment as the T-1000 in Terminator 2.
Absolutely.
I think you would have made a promising police officer. I think that he might have been able to help the city of Los Angeles. But.
A little misguided.
I mean, granted, who hasn't wanted to stab Edward Furlong through the eye hole?
Yeah, I have.
I have more to. I've thought God about doing that today. God. I'm the visa, baby. Just want to throw
a really good. A guy who could have been a really good cop if he hadn't seen entirely too much corruption in one day would have been Ethan Hawke in Training Day.
Get out. I was going to ask about Alonzo
here.
Holy shit. Talk about the greatest day ever.
Yeah, like, well, I think I'm going to be a good cop, honey, and I think things are going to turn around with this new assignment. Holy shit. Yeah.
Have some angel dust. Let's... You're lying to me!
I heard different. Holy shit. This is a rough, rough day.
Yeah, and I mean... It's weird because, like, it's hard for me to buy Denzel Washington being a bad guy, but he sold it.
Oh, did he? Good
wow,
job.
Yeah. And that's a guy, actually, Alonzo Harris, you know, the Denzel part in that could have been a great cop.
Oh, yeah. I think that there was probably a time where he was.
Yeah. But again, you know, he gets the power, then you gets the offering.
And he gets the women, and you gets the Ethan Hawke right along.
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to spend a day with actor and author Ethan Hawke? By the way, that's how they introduced him at the Oscars once. Actor and author. Really?
Really?
Is that what we're going with here? I don't care how many books he's written.
Just keep making cute movies with Julie Delphi, all right, hotshot?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's still that fucking guy. I'm trying to think of another cop who was a total failure when it came right down to it.
Bad Lieutenant.
Bad Lieutenant, yes, both of them.
Actually, Nicolas Cage is a little more effective.
A little bit, yeah.
Than Harvey Keitel and Bad Lieutenant, the original, because holy shit.
Yeah.
Nothing gets done except himself.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You see a lot of Harvey. I think I've seen Harvey Keitel's penis more than I've seen my own. Because that man just likes to pull that here.
I mean, nothing gets done.
Mm hmm.
Nothing.
Yep.
Not a blessed fucking thing.
When he takes that chick in front of her boyfriend, is like, oh my lord.
Yeah.
I have been greatly misled as to what police work entails.
Yeah, what's the code for this?
Yeah. How do I call this in? Do I have to? Officer needs assistance? I don't know what to call this.
Tag? What is this?
Wow.
What's the code for night train?
Dang. You know what cop I can't tell if he's good or not, and though I want him to be good, is Frank Bullitt. Because no matter how many times I've seen that movie,
it
doesn't make a lick of sense.
No.
And it's kind of a cool car chase, a large quantity of TV dinners purchased,
mm-hmm.
But what?
Well, it's like that Paul Newman movie in the 60s. They played it last year.
Harper?
Harper.
Yeah, Harper's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And he's a much more effective cop, but Bullitt would have benefited from right along with him, I think.
You can
still be a little scattered and, you know, your own man and still get things done.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that. It's just the case didn't make sense. Like, so someone gets shot, and then it turns out that it's somebody who was pretending to be somebody so that somebody could get a...
They've been trying to remake that thing for years, but they can't get past, okay, a kind of cool guy and a real, well, not kind of cool, a really cool guy and an awesome car.
An awesome car. And
all right, well, what then? I don't know. What are you, shot for a shot, I guess?
I want to see it get remade because I want Chad McQueen to get more work. Because you know they just go right to Chad for that. Like, hey, excuse me, Chad, Dutch.
You're going to be in Bullitt, but you're going to be... As Dutch.
Yeah, as Dutch as Bullitt.
In the gi.
Yeah.
Everything.
Oh, man, imagine him driving that Ferrari.
That's right. Awesome.
I mean, not Ferrari. What? Mustang.
Ferrari, Mustang.
I mean, whatever. I don't know much about cars. So, let's talk John McClane and Al Powell. I want to spend more time talking about Al Powell.
Reginald Bell Johnson. He's a very good cop and very thoughtful regarding his wife.
Yeah, that's true.
Both Twinkies.
Would you believe Reginald Vell Johnson in anything where he wasn't playing a police officer?
No, he plays a cop in Ghostbusters, and you're like, oh, and it's the same guy.
Everything. You look through his IMDb, and it's officer, cop one, lieutenant, captain. He's a cop and everything. I don't know why. He's just totally but Carl on duty.
Yeah. John McClane and Axel Foley were both very effective. Just they should go back home.
Yeah. Well, no, because McClane did have the one shot in New York and with a vengeance, so he was sort of in his territory. But then no,
he was talking about Die Hard 1.
No, and Die Hard 2, he was, you know, out of his jurisdiction. And in Die Hard 3, he goes to Canada, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's creating an international incident with the Canadians.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want that war. Where will we
They don't.
Where will we? Hold on, I'm trying to think. Wait, where will we get our?
Poutine?
What?
Moose?
Moose
deficit.
No, we have moose in Alaska.
Ah, there you go.
But so, like, seriously, no, fuck it. Yeah, go ahead. Invade Canada, Bruce Willis. Have at them. What are they going to do? And then I'm not really even certain what happened in the last one. Where did that one take place? Was it in New York
everywhere
or New Jersey?
Everywhere USA.
Yeah, everywhere USA. We're going to take a quick hop down to
New York, and then I think it's all in New York.
Really? Yeah, it's in Washington. A lot of it's in Washington D.C. I mean, basically, he's just got an aversion to doing shit where his badge matters.
Right. Right.
Like I want another Die Hard movie just so he can be like in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or he just hops a boat.
Finland.
Now we like choose the most, you know, obscure country we can think of.
Well, no, I'm not gonna. No, never. Equatorial Guinea reference again.
Yes, he's busting punks in Equatorial Guinea. An international terrorism plot.
Guyana.
John Spartan, Demolition Man.
Mm.
He
very good cop.
Yeah. Very good.
Very good.
Who is a bad guy? Who do you think the worst cop, so far as just effectiveness?
Harvey Keitel in Bad Lieutenant.
Okay, yeah, shit, I forgot about that.
Well, actually, it's Joe Huff, because he gets a lot of people killed.
Yeah.
Lieutenant just get high and not closing cases.
Yeah, Lieutenant's ineffective. Joe Huff might as well have just started shooting
dying.
People. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Joe Huff.
I think, though, honestly, the only other person other than Dirty Harry that I would want on the case would be Inspector Tequila Yuen from Hard Boiled. Chow Yun-Fat.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't even want that. I just want Chow Yun-Fat to inspect it.
Yeah.
Like, just him show up like, hey, pardon me, sir, but I'm an actor. Uh-huh. I am not really a policeman. Shut up, Chow. Find out who did this.
What about Inspector Clouseau?
Steve Martin?
Yes.
Yes, I want you. Motherfucker. Clouseau. He is top on my list, actually.
I think Talk about his own code.
Yeah.
A roundabout way of getting things done, but eventually...
Eventually...
Something happens.
Eventually something happens, and the bad guy has to kind of turn themselves in out of guilt. I feel so bad. He really seems to want to do a good job here.
Let's cut him a break.
Let's help him out. Shit. Ooh, I've got a cop that I'm torn on, and that is Sheriff Will Teasel in First Blood.
That's a bad cop.
That's a bad cop, because at first, for a minute, you can kind of see, hey, we got some shifty-looking drifter hippie coming into town. Let's get...
But a lot of things should be solved by just asking the guy.
Yeah, by just talking to the gent. You know, he's wearing he's wearing an army fatigue jacket. Maybe like, did you serve? But you know, you can't bust someone for vagrancy if they're just passing through.
Yeah, that's a traveler.
Yeah, it's a traveler. Exactly, he's a tourist.
Yeah,
he's passing through town, and when he's asking about seeing another known veteran, maybe you don't.
He doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah.
So I might want to keep on moving.
All right.
Oh, well, that's some strapping you nude to the wall in the basement and hosing you down type talk.
Bad cop. Bad cop. And completely avoidable situation.
Mm-hmm. He totally created that situation. You know, it's one thing
you're shooting a drifter because he caused the ruckus you didn't ask for.
Right.
But that's unavoidable.
Yeah, you started that shit.
He pulls a knife at a guy at a Burger King. Okay. We got to regulate your ass.
Exactly.
But the guy's just walking, man.
He's walking through town. Who the fuck are you, sir?
Yeah. I mean, you fuck with the wrong bull in this particular instance.
Yeah, yeah.
You
got
probably happened 1,000 times before, and a guy got his ass kicked or just moved on or whatever happened.
Uh-huh.
But here you go.
Yeah, but... Anything, I'm gonna just sort of make a statement. Anything that ends with a person who hasn't really broken a lot naked in a basement, getting hosed down by a room full of screaming guys, might be gayer than All for One and All for Love.
That's pretty close.
That's right up there, man.
That's rough.
Wow. Really, like,
if they were happening while Peter Cetera records are playing.
Wow.
Man, you really got
went right with Peter Cetera, huh?
Yeah.
Chicago Peter Cetera or solo Peter Cetera?
What now?
What now? I'm just pretending like nothing happened, sir.
There is no Chicago with Peter Cetera. heard me.
You shut your mouth, Jim. I'm really passionate about that. For some reason, I have decided that today I will give a shit about the band Chicago.
Who knows?
But yeah, that was totally a fuck up that he created.
Yes, it's a giant fucking hornet's nest.
Yeah.
Kicked off the tree and then swallowed.
Just punted it.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Knight.
Take this home with me in my pants.
What about Marge Gunderson?
Marge Gunderson.
Fargo?
Oh, schmuck. That would be your accomplice in a chipper shredder.
So,
that's a very effective police officer.
So you were having sex with the funny-looking guy. Yeah.
Very good.
I think, and that's what police procedure is right there, damn it. She does what needs doing. She does it right. She does it by the book. But she's also effective with it.
And a good wife.
And a good wife, except she didn't save Buscemi. But hey, who can?
Anyway, it's only looking at the weasel guy.
Yeah, we're good. We're good there.
Copland?
Oh, Copland. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask about here. Sheriff Freddie Heflin. That was an interesting one, because that's that whole corrupt and the one guy who's not corrupt.
An entire world that's corrupt.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the cars are corrupt.
Mm-hmm. The one shining little diamond of...
Yeah.
And I love how everyone's like, Stallone got so fat. Like, lady, I would cut your eyes out to look like... Like, well, your statement about Mel Gibson...
Look a little paunchy.
Menounos, I would burn you in front of my mother just to look like that. Paunchy son of a bitch.
Oh, no. Mel Gibson has a couple of little pounds. Heavens to Betsy, goodness me. How about this? We'll cut the fat off, Mel Gibson, and you eat it, Ichabod. How about that? You look like a wet cat.
Ah, delicious. That I've only seen the Copland the once, but it
me too, I've only seen it once.
It was enjoyable, and I think that Stallone... Talk about a good cop, because he's bloody and beaten to ass at the end, but he's going to drag it across the finish line. You know, it's like the end of Talladega Nights.
How about Ray Liotta and Narc?
Oh, yeah. That was another one where it's like, I'm on the fringe. Mm. I kind of like that idea of the cop that's kind of, you know, like on the outside.
Yeah.
No, I'm not part of this, but you know, I'll be over here doing this shit behind the scenes.
Man, that was, I really enjoyed that movie a lot and had such high hopes for that director.
Yeah.
And then, well, I don't know what happened. But let's hope he gets back to that.
Yeah. That's a tough one to pull off. Jason Patrick was pretty badass in that.
He was.
He's a guy that needs to do more work.
Yeah.
Really does. You know?
He was, yeah, there's another one. Cops and Rush.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that was not a good cop. Ooh. Keanu Reeves in Speed. How does that count so far as cop goes? I mean, there's a lot of damage that was done. And they just forgot about the bus at the end, didn't they?
Sure did.
I mean, because if you think about it, like, oh, the bus. Like, you kind of want to stay and make sure that didn't hit anything.
In my mind, the bus is still going.
Didn't it hit, like, a plane and explode in the end of it? No. Still driving. Still on a lone freeway out of L.A. somewhere, driving into the sun. It's riding the highway. That's right. It's like some Jim
somewhere Morrison now, video. They tell the story of the bombed bus.
Popeye Doyle.
Fucking fantastic cop.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, man.
We're going to take this shit down, baby.
It's like, well, he got away. That's right. There's a sequel.
Yeah, we're just going to... I'm going to... The car chase scene in that. Oh, Lord.
Of course.
That's beautiful.
No, he's... I very much enjoy his tactics.
Yeah. Kind of name is Virgil, boy.
Speaking of bad cop... Well, on the other side of that, he's a good cop.
Yeah,
it's a real bad cop and touch of evil, boy.
Orson Welles. Oh, that you got to come see that shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Well, yeah, that. And, boy, talk about just looking at a cop and being able to see, he is not a good cop.
This is not an effective police officer.
Like, my Lord. Do they not have fitness reports here?
Shut up, you agitator. The fridge. Yeah, that's a really, really, really bad, ineffective, corrupt motherfucker.
Yeah, he really, and boy, just looks like 10 pounds of hammered ass.
I'm sure that's what he said. I wanted to embody corruption, so I ate Tijuana. Well,
there's a lot of different things we could do with this, but how about Virgil Tibbs?
Fantastic cop.
Yeah, another great cop, man.
Great cop. Actually, all the cops are pretty good in that.
It's yeah.
Different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. That's true. See, I'm looking at all this, I'm like, it's odd because even the bad cops, unless they're, you know, the mustache twirling, where they're removed from their role as cop, are all pretty good. I mean, there are not many ineffective cops.
And we've talked
other than Harvey Keitel and Patton.
Right, and we've talked about a lot of cops, the great cop stories on television, which
right.
are really leading the pack in all of this.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
And, of course, the classic movies.
Yeah.
But people really want to know mm-hmm. is how do we feel about the police work and overall character of the ensemble cast of Police Academy?
Oh, the Goot. Okay. Well, let's first off, Gutenberg can jump over bullets. Mm-hmm. That's pretty fucking magical right there. Mm-hmm.
Tackleberry.
Little
on edge.
Little bit.
But effective.
But that Tackleberry is another one of the guys. He actually resulted in one of my favorite ADRs ever. Drop the gosh darn TV before I blow your friggin' knees off, egg roll. That.
Yes.
Is cool. That's a spicy dish right there.
the surprising efficacy of the undercover work of Too Tall Jones.
Yes.
Yumma.
Ripped up the heart out of a goat.
Yumma.
Because I'm hungry. Michael Winslow.
Right. Very effective.
Yes. Very effective. G.W. Bailey's. That's the thing is he was... Like, he was dedicated, and he didn't want any of this shenaniganry going on.
Yeah, he didn't need these monkey shines.
Yeah. I kind of side with him a little bit in that
a lot, actually.
I mean, shit.
I mean, these bumbling stooges, you know, they should be getting about the public service.
Yeah.
Not in a balloon with Sharon Stone.
Oh, God, that always... Did I ever tell you about that time? memories. To be young again and...
Ballooning with Sharon Stone.
Get cornered by Sharon Stone at a party. Yeah. Hey!
Is that how she sounded?
You're tall. She said her name was Sharon. Are you calling Miss Stone a liar?
No, never.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Never.
That's some ball. The ball's on this guy.
The brass, that would be, Richardson.
The brass, Richardson. No, honestly, I still think that Tim Kazurinsky in Police Academy, really underrated.
He's very by the book.
Yes, he was very by the book. I don't like the guy that they got to replace Gutenberg. It's like they said,
oh, yeah.
We like Gutenberg, but he's a little too talent-y. You need to find somebody who's just a little more pancake flat and forgettable and kind of... Looks like a Ken doll, but
like
not
Revenge
a...
Revenge of the Pink Panther with that douche that came in at the end.
Well, the way that I see the guy that replaced Gutenberg is like, we need somebody who's like Ken doll, only less sexually threatening. Mm-hmm. So we'll go with this guy.
Yeah. You don't want that same kind of sexual power that the Gutenberg brings to the table.
It's raw. There could be children at that movie.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Iggy Pop powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen The Wrong Guys? The other guys, I mean?
No.
It's decent. Kind of fun.
Right.
You know? And then at the closing credits, it decides to become very serious. That's all I say. The closing credits goes into the whole thing where it's like the corruption in the financials. Like, that's not this movie. This is a movie that has jokes about a bunch of homeless guys having an orgy in someone's car. We call that a soup kitchen. You don't get serious. No, you're not allowed to get serious at the end of this. God damn it.
That's weird.
It's a good movie. It's on Instant. I think you might enjoy parts of it. Might enjoy parts of it. He's talking about Ava Mendez, his wife. She's a big old gal. Yes, exactly.
Simon Pegg and Hot Fuzz.
That's what I was going to say. Nicholas Angel and Danny Butterman. I do get a little tired of names that are a little too on the nose. How come if there's a character named Butterman or, you know, like Porkins Fatsley or Blog? It's, you know, it's never like Brad Pitt would never play a guy named, you know, like Blumfold.
Right.
You know, but he'd be like, you know.
Chocolate Burger. He wouldn't play a guy.
Danny Butterman. No, you're not going to have George
Clooney.
My
name is Daniel Bacon Fingers.
I'm Steak Fort.
Yes.
Excuse me, sir. Butter gravy. It's never going to happen.
It should, though.
Nick Cage could play Bacon Fingers, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Cage could play anything.
He sure can. He wants to, yes.
Oh, I'm going to come up with a note here that might lead us out nicely. Saw a preview for a movie for that movie, I Am Number 4, earlier today. Might as well have been a preview that said, don't ever watch this movie. don't ever, because it was like from the director of, I don't even know what it was. It was like some shit movie. I hate because I had this awesome story. From producer Michael Bay and the director of, like,
fucking... You got served.
Like, what the fuck? I have no interest in this. This JG kid who found out that Timothy Oliphant was getting paid more than him, so he retaliated by refusing to cash his paycheck. I'll show you. I did this movie for free. I did this movie in exchange for meals on set.
Craft services. I shall be paid.
And a per diem. I do this movie for $5,000. Good day, sir. Wow. So.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad to me.
Yeah, it just looked like ass. A big bag of ass.
Bag ass.
Big bag of ass on screen.
Right.
I was going to say something about Captain Renault from Casablanca, but, you know, he doesn't do much policing in it.
Not really.
A little more Nazi stooging and then kind of comes correct at the end.
Lots of stooging.
Yeah. So, Do we have any other cops to talk about?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. All right, cool. I think that might cover it. So, check us out at thefilmthugs.com, filmthugs@gmail.com, Facebook, all that shit, Twitter. If you want to get one Twitter a week, you could do worse.
You can find somebody to do it. You're not going to get one from week from us.
Yeah. No, they will, because whenever I post on Facebook that there's a show, like, hey, you download a show.
Look at this. Something happened.
There's a thing. Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We talked about cops.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. It's fun.
Ed 209 forever.
Thanks for listening again. We really appreciate you guys being here. Now that we've hit summer, I should be writing a little bit more about movies, so keep checking out the website at thefilmthugs.com. Join us on the Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter if you want the rarest occasional update ever. So far as this one goes, we use two Clash songs, beginning I Fought the Law and Police and Thieves, both of them covers, so good times there. We use clips from The Big Lebowski, Super Troopers, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, Dirty Harry. We used from, like, Dirty Harry, Sudden Impact. We like three of them. And, of course, L.A. Confidential. Join us next week when we will be talking about a subject near and dear to our hearts, the great state of Texas. Thanks for listening. Catch y'all next time.